Psalm 119, verse 145 to 152, and this is the section which each verse begins with the Hebrew letter Kof, the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, often transliterated as a Q. Let's read from verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cried unto you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, and I hoped in your word. I'll read that one again. I prevented the dawn of the morning and cried, I hope in your word. My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in your word. Hear my voice according unto your loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to your judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief, they are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to us. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. There is a promise of blessing, you see, which the psalmist has set his heart on. That's why he's seeking. It's already been mentioned in this Psalm 119. You have to go right the way back to verse 2. And in verse 2, it says this: Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. The psalmist wants that blessing. Those that keep the testimonies of the Lord and that seek him with the whole heart. In verse 10 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says, With my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. We come now to verse 145, and here is the situation. He's crying out with his whole heart. I cried out, I called to the Lord with my whole heart, with the plea, hear me, O Lord. There it is in verse 145. Hear me, O Lord. You see, in that request, hear me, in that is the key to the answer, to getting the answer. He's cried out to the Lord with his whole heart and with the plea, hear me. I come back to a verse that we looked at on Sunday, and we've looked at it before in recent times. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Here's the way to answer prayer. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says, And this is the confidence. This is the boldness that we have towards him, or in him, towards him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is what the psalmist is crying out for. Lord, hear me. Why is he calling out, hear me? Listen. 1 John 5, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If we are convinced and know that God is hearing us as we pray to him, we've got the answer. The God who hears, answers. He won't hear the prayer that's blocked out by sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, it says in the scripture, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We want the Lord to hear us. So there is 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We've got what we've asked for. I'll say it again. In the scripture it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In various situations in this Psalm 119, the psalmist has cried out to the Lord. And in other psalms, he's crying out to the Lord. In Psalm 130, he says, out of the depths, in all those depths of the problems and difficulties of life where there seems to be no answer for us, out of the depths, cries to the Lord and says, hear me. But in Psalm 120, 10 chapters earlier on, in my distress, there it is again, out of the depths, in my distress, in all the problems again and the difficulties of life, I cried unto the Lord, and this time he says, and he heard me. If we know that God hears us, we know that we have the answer to that prayer. Psalm 36 and verse 4. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord hears. When there's an intention of obedience to his word, and because there's an intention of obedience to his word, the Lord will hear, because we are asking according to his will. If there's an obedience to God's word, we're asking. What he says in the first verse of John again, chapter 5, he says, this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything, here it comes, according to his will, he hears us. So that very first verse, in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes, I will keep what you've said we must do. There's the attention of obedience there. I'm going to do what you've told us to do, Lord, hear me. Verse 146, I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I cried to you. Again, it's a prayer of faith. It's not just a vague wish. It's a prayer of faith. I've cried to you, and I shall keep your testimonies. There's the obedience again. I want to be in the very centre of your will and what you want me to do. And if we're asking, therefore, according to his will, he will hear us. That's his promise. I shall keep your testimonies, he says. What are the testimonies of God? The testimonies of God are the witness. That's the actual word, and that's what it means in Hebrew. It's the witness of what God is like. And the psalmist is really saying, I want to keep your testimonies. I want to be like you. We sing one of the choruses, one of the hymns. Be like Jesus. This is my song. In the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. This is what the psalmist is saying to God. I want to be like you, Lord. I'm crying to you, Lord, to hear my requests. I will keep your testimonies. I want to be like you. So there are the first two verses in that section of the psalm. Crying to the Lord. Crying to the Lord according to his will. Desiring the things that God wants us to have. And looking for an answer. I will obey your word. And then in 147, 148, first two verses to do with crying out to the Lord. These next two verses are about his diligence in seeking the Lord. He's expecting an answer, and he's giving himself 100% to do what God is asking and to seek God with all his heart. 100%. We've got to understand that this word prevented and prevent in 47-48 is not what we think it means today. This is 1611 English. Now, I do wonder whether it's pronounced differently. When we talk about preventing something, we talk about stopping it happening. Prevent. I do wonder, and I did read it like this when I read the section, whether it should be pronounced prevented and prevent. It gives it a different meaning. But in Dutch, the word for prevent and prevent, there are two different words there, prevent and prevent, are voorkomen. Voorkomen and voorkomen. Spelled exactly the same, pronounced a bit differently. That's why I wonder whether this should be pronounced differently. One means to stop something happening, prevent. The other, prevent, means to come before. Same with the Dutch word. Voorkomen means to prevent, to stop something happening. Voorkomen means to come before. This word here means to come before. I came before, or I went before, the dawning of the morning. He was up before daybreak, in other words. Difficult when words change their meanings, isn't it? There are lots of them in the Authorised Version of the Bible. Words that have changed their meaning. I came before the dawning of the morning. I was up before dawn. And I cried. This time, it's a different word in Hebrew for cry. It's a cry that's a cry of desperation. It's almost like, hello, is anybody there? I need help. He's up before morning. The dawning of the morning, and crying with that cry of despair, but he's hoping in the word of God. When God gives us promises, they are sure and certain promises. God doesn't go back on his word. So we come to him. And the psalmist is so diligent that he's 100% seeking the Lord. He's crying out, he's calling to the Lord, his hope persistent. Why? Because he's hoping in the word of God. And then the next verse, my eyes, again, prevent. My eyes come before. Go before the night watches. In other words, through the night, there are different watches during the night. There's the first watch, second watch, third watch, so on. There are different watches through the night, 3 hours at a time. Before each watch, he's awake, he's asking God, he's praying through the day, before the dawning, through the night, he's praying to the Lord. He's 100% interceding the Lord for this, the need that he has. You know, we can't be half-hearted with God when we pray. I hope it happens. See you again next week, Lord. When we pop into church on Sunday to have another time of prayer. The psalmist was 100% committed to seeking God for his needs and to receiving God according to God's promises. He says, I went before the night watches that I might meditate in your word, that I might go over in my heart and in my mind your word, your promises, what you've said, because I want to ask according to what you have said and according to what you've promised. I don't want to ask for anything that you don't want me to have. Does away with our shopping list approach to prayer, doesn't it? Here he's committed completely to seeking and to receiving the word of God and receiving the answer to his prayer. So he's crying out to the Lord, but he's set himself the situation where he's committed himself to asking the Lord all the time, before the dawning, before the night watches. He's there. You know, in Psalm 55, there's a sort of standard thing here, which has become accepted by Jewish people, because the Old Testament is the Hebrew Bible, the Jewish Bible. In Psalm 55, in verses 16 and 17, it says this: as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Listen to these words: evening and morning and at noon will I pray unto you, and cry aloud, and you shall hear my voice. This is a three times a day prayer: morning when you first get up, midday, even before you go to bed. Remember when Daniel got arrested? In the book of Daniel? The king had made a decree that nobody should ask anything of any god for 30 days except of the king. And Daniel said, I'm not having any of that. He went to his room, he opened the windows, and three times a day he prayed to God out loud. The three times a day prayer. The psalmist has gone beyond that, you see. He's praying before the morning comes. He's praying through the night watches. He's given himself 100% to seek the Lord. You know, the God honours that approach when we seek him with our whole heart. Not half-hearted, but with our whole heart. We praise God for that. And then verse 149. He's now praying for the Lord to hear his voice. Not on the basis of all the effort that he's put in. It's important for him that the Lord is hearing his prayer, because with that hearing comes the answer. But he's not asking the Lord to ask his prayer because I've got up before the dawn to pray to you. I've prayed through the day. I've prayed through the night watches. I've put my whole heart into this, Lord. You've got to hear me. No. He says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. This is a word we've come across before in the Bible. It goes right through the Bible. It's translated different ways. Loving kindness is the most usual way, Hebrew word chesed. And it's equivalent to the New Testament idea of the grace of God. It's God's loving kindness. He makes available to us and gives to us what he has for us because of his grace. Not because we deserve it, but because of his grace and his goodness to us. In spite of what we are, he loves us. And by his grace, if we will respond to him, he will save us and will provide all our need. According to riches and glory. Hear my voice, he says, according to your loving kindness. There's no other basis on which he, the psalmist, could ask of God. You start saying, well, Lord, I've done all these good things. I think I've got enough points now for you to answer some of my prayers. We wouldn't get much, if anything. But when it's his grace, when it's his goodness, he pours out in abundance into our hearts and into our lives. Oh, Lord, he says, quicken me, make me to live. That's what that means. Quicken me. Make me to live according to your judgment. According to your judgment. We've come across this word before, the word that's translating, mishpat. The judgment of God is the judgment of God about situations and actions. The judgment of God about situations and actions is, this is right, this is wrong. When you read through the Bible, you'll find that God makes it quite clear what he finds to be wrong and what he finds to be right. There are things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that declare that certain things are an abomination to God. They're wrong. And as believers, we should be living by the word of God. What he says is wrong, is wrong. Doesn't matter what the world says, doesn't matter what governments say. When God says something's wrong, it's wrong. And when God says something's right, it's right. And the psalmist says, I'm going to live by your judgments, Lord. What you judge to be right, it's going to be right for me. What you judge to be wrong, it's going to be wrong for me. And that's the way to go. And there's a certainty in his heart, therefore, that God will hear and answer his prayers. He's seeking the Lord 100%, day by day. We're familiar with the idea, when we're seeking what God has for us, and when we're seeking to pray to him, we're aware that there are enemies around. I'm talking about the works of the enemy, the hosts of darkness. There are enemies around. And there are individuals used by the enemy of our souls, Satan himself. There are people that are used to bring to nothing, and try to bring to nothing, the things of God. The psalmist says that they draw nigh, verse 150, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They're far from your law. There are people coming near, or they're approaching. This is the idea. They're approaching, and they are after mischief. They've got a wicked plan. Lord, they're drawing nigh. What can be done about that? Oh, the psalmist goes on into the next verse. But you are near. Here's the difference. The enemy is drawing nigh. The enemy is approaching all the time, trying to disrupt our lives, bring a gap between us and God. But the psalmist says, but Lord, you're not approaching, you're not drawing nigh, you're here already. You're surrounding my life already. You're near already. You're right at hand. It's a word that actually means next of kin. You're next of kin, you're that near to me. The Lord, all your commandments, all that you have said, the truth. What's he been doing? He's been crying out to the Lord, those first two verses, crying out to the Lord. 147, 148. He's showing his determination to receive from God by faith, by coming before the morning, going through the night. He's giving himself 100% to get from God and to live for God as God wants him to. The enemy might be drawing near and all around, and we're aware that we're on enemy territory in a way in this world. It says in the Bible that the devil, that Satan himself, is the prince of the power of the air. But the Lord is on our side. And while the enemy might be approaching, the Lord is all around us. Surrounds us with his love and his protection. And wants to bring to fruition, wants to give us the answers to the things that he wants us to have. Concerning your testimony, says the psalmist, 152, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. What he's saying is, I know that you are trustworthy and reliable. These have ever been your principles. These have ever been your desires for mankind. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. The first word, the first phrase in that text in Hebrew is of old. What does it mean by of old? The Hebrew word carries with it the idea of from the beginning. Not from the beginning as we understand the beginning, but from the beginning as an eternal beginning. God's beginning. That's always been your way, Lord. That's always been your way. Of old, right from the beginning, right from eternity, your testimonies, your ways, you have founded them forever. From everlasting to everlasting. From the beginning, forever. God's word, God's promises, what God has shown to be his desires, they are founded forever. They will never fail. God's promises never fail. God's promises never fail. He'll bring to confusion all the works of the enemy. His promises will never fail. From everlasting to everlasting, says the scripture, you are God. Psalm 90, verse 2. One of the earlier psalms. Psalm 19 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. These are God's promises for us. What does it say in the New Testament? In the New Testament it says that God's promises, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Everything is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Every promise that God has for us has been acquired for us by Jesus Christ. Salvation from sin. Life that is eternal has been acquired by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Therefore, our salvation is an eternal salvation. It's not a religious salvation. What do I mean by that, not a religious salvation? Well, if you keep living a good life, you'll keep it. And if you don't live a good life, you'll lose it. What we have from God is an eternal salvation. Once we're saved, we're saved. Praise the Lord. And he keeps us by his mighty power. In 2 Thessalonians, in the New Testament, chapter 2 and verse 13, this is what it says, confirming that eternal salvation. God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We can learn from the psalmist that if we commit ourselves wholly to the Lord, crying to him with our whole heart, giving ourselves 100% to what he's called us to do and to be, knowing that he's hearing our voice, knowing therefore that we've got the answer, whatever the enemy of our souls brings across our pathway to try to disrupt things, those that draw nigh from the enemy, they're too late. The Lord's with us. He surrounds us with his love and with his protection. What God has promised is forever. It stands firm and secure. That's why we say and that's why we sing, God's word will never fail. Praise the Lord. The psalmist found that to be true. Amen.